This episode of Intelligent Medicine is brought to you by True Niagen Pro. Cellular health is the foundation of wellness. True Niagen Pro helps cells stay resilient. True Niagen Pro is a unique form of vitamin B3 clinically proven to safely increase NAD, a vital resource used to help fuel and maintain the health of all living cells. But this critical cellular resource is not constant. It's been found to decline up to 50% as we age. When NAD levels are low, our cells have a harder time producing the energy they need to maintain our health as we age. Published research shows that increasing NAD boosts cellular energy production, supports healthy cellular metabolism, and promotes cellular repair. When surveyed, True Niagen users report improvements in energy levels and an enhanced sense of overall well-being. True Niagen Pro is backed by multiple published clinical studies and is only available through healthcare practitioners. You can get yours by going to drhoffmanstore.com. That's drhoffmanstore.com for True Niagen Pro. Welcome back to our weekly Q&A with Layla. It's a podcast in which you really are the featured guests because you get to pose your most vital health questions, and you can send questions to radioprogram@AOL.com. We endeavor to answer every question that we can. And we've got a whole bunch in the mailbag. So, Layla?
Yeah.
What's next?
We have an email from Karen. Hello, Dr. Hoffman and Layla. My husband and his whole family have osteoporosis. They are of Indian origin. My husband has been taking strontium for a few years, but he notices that he gags and sometimes vomits in the morning.
That's very unusual. That's very unusual.
Wow.
I never heard of that with strontium, but look, it's possible.
Okay. He usually takes it late at night because it's supposed to be taken away from food. But he gags when he takes it. Is there any remedy for this? Should he stop taking it?
If he gags when he takes it, there's something.
Then he should stop taking it.
You know, he's not tolerant.
Yeah. Yeah.
So, but let's speak to that issue. This is a family.
Yeah.
And there may be some familial susceptibility to osteoporosis for one reason or another. And there are many things involved.
Yeah.
Many genetic pathways that can lead to osteoporosis. Some are related to vitamin D and vitamin D absorption.
Mm-hmm. Vitamin D receptor.
You know, it could be that, you know, because people from South Asia have darker skins, that they have less vitamin D on board anyway.
Yeah.
They may require more vitamin D to optimize their vitamin D because some people have weak pathways for vitamin D utilization and absorption.
Mm-hmm.
So, and that's actually, we're beginning to do genetic tests that actually shed light on that.
Yeah.
He may have some vitamin K related pathways because we know that vitamin K2 plays a role. It's called GLA matrix protein, I think. Osteotegrin.
Osteocalcin.
Osteocalcin, I'm sorry. Pathways that are genetically weak.
Yeah.
You know, and that in the whole family has inherited.
That's interesting.
So maybe some analysis can shed light on why that is. It's kind of an interesting case.
Yeah.
You know, we would start with the fundamentals. We would look at, you know, vitamin D levels, and we would look at
and magnesium levels.
Absorption, you know, and so on.
Make sure there's adequate vitamin K, which is tough to do. I'm making an assumption that because they're of Indian origin, they may be vegetarian.
They may not be getting adequate protein because
that's
we know that
too.
Bone is also, it's a living material.
Mm-hmm.
It's not just a mineral.
Mm-hmm.
It is a live tissue, and you know, some vegetarian, Indians or South Asians are following a vegetarian diet.
Yeah.
Or quasi-vegetarian diet.
Mm-hmm. So it's not all about the strontium. All of these things would need to be looked at.
Mm-hmm.
A whole family assessment is in order here.
Yeah. Now, here's the other thing. If you see people with osteoporosis, one of the things to check for, and sometimes it's omitted when doctors work up osteoporosis, celiac disease.
Oh, yeah. Very important.
Now, celiac disease in that nationality is less common than it is, say, in, I believe,
Northern Europe.
Than in Northern Europeans.
Yeah.
In Celts and in you know, Anglo-Saxons and Nordic peoples, Scandinavians and so on.
Mm-hmm.
That's more prevalent.
Yeah. But it is possible. It is possible that I'm trying to think of other things, certain medications that would cause you to malabsorb any nutrients.
But they like, probably aren't on the same medication.
Yeah, that's true too. Yeah. If it's a whole family, right? Yeah.
So something looks like some genetic glitch.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. So, Karen, thank you for that question. And anybody who's gagging on strontium should stop taking it, or gagging on anything for that matter.
Yeah.
Shouldn't take it
But anymore. I wonder, is there some sort of digestive problem that predisposes him to gag on strontium, which is pretty innocuous for most people?
Yeah.
It should not cause that. And we, you know, strontium is taken by some of our feeblest, oldest patients, because that's they're true. The ones who have osteoporosis, and they very rarely complain about it.
That's true. This is the first time I'm hearing this. Yeah. And Karen writes here something that just took my eye. Said he usually takes it late at night because it's supposed to be taken away from food with calcium. Strontium should not be taken with calcium unless I'm reading
the
sentence
opposite.
Wrong. It's the opposite. It should be taken away from calcium.
Yeah.
So, you know, well, some people are helped. Okay.
Maybe it's the syntax of that sentence that confuses you because maybe she is saying that it should be taken away from calcium. I don't know.
Right. Right. But just to clarify, I've had maybe a handful of patients who say, oh, you know, I take the strontium on an empty stomach, but then my stomach doesn't feel quite right. I tell them to nibble on a little something, and then
yeah, because as long as it doesn't have a lot of calcium, you know, if you take it with, a carrot or some celery or something.
Or something like that.
Yeah.
It should be fine.
Yeah.
It should be fine.
Hey, we got to include a little bit of a shout out to one of our sponsors here. So let's allow one of our sponsors to share this important message with our Intelligent Medicine listeners. Here goes.
This episode of Intelligent Medicine is brought to you by True Niagen Pro. Cellular health is the foundation of wellness. True Niagen Pro helps cells stay resilient. True Niagen Pro is a unique form of vitamin B3 clinically proven to safely increase NAD, a vital resource used to help fuel and maintain the health of all living cells. But this critical cellular resource is not constant. It's been found to decline up to 50% as we age. When NAD levels are low, our cells have a harder time producing the energy they need to maintain our health as we age. Published research shows that increasing NAD boosts cellular energy production, supports healthy cellular metabolism, and promotes cellular repair. When surveyed, True Niagen users report improvements in energy levels and an enhanced sense of overall well-being. True Niagen Pro is backed by multiple published clinical studies and is only available through healthcare practitioners. You can get yours by going to drhoffmanstore.com. That's drhoffmanstore.com for True Niagen Pro.
Thanks for listening. Thanks for supporting our sponsors. They're what make Intelligent Medicine a continuing free resource to you. Isn't that great? So shout out to our sponsors and show them some appreciation by investigating some of their excellent products. Now back to our questions with Layla. What's up?
We have an email from Carol. Dr. Hoffman, I heard you talk about the subject about taking antibiotics for dental work. My Rx for the drug prior to dental work originated due to my TKRs and subsequent revisions.
Okay, so luckily I went to med school and I have experience with these abbreviations. And it took me a while to remember that a TKR means a total knee replacement.
And it's plural, so it's both knees.
Both TKRs. Bilateral total knee replacement.
And subsequent revisions.
Oh my goodness, so something went awry and it had to be fixed.
So the protocol has changed, but I feel more at ease by continuing to take the antibiotics when I have dental work.
Well, yeah, you know why? Because we had this question about these foreign materials in the body.
Yeah.
Foreign materials in the body can become a nidus or an attractive surface for bacteria to glom onto and form biofilms. Mm. And then you can develop a osteomyelitis, or you can develop a seeding into the bloodstream of bacteria. And then you get, things like endocarditis.
Yeah.
So it's routine for people with certain types of joint replacements to take antibiotics prophylactically.
Yeah.
When they have dental procedures. So it's not, I'm not saying you should never have antibiotics with dental procedures, but it's overdone.
Yeah. Remember the days of taking it from mitral valve prolapse or any heart murmur.
There were so many, you know, early in my career, I would say, you know, you have mitral valve prolapse, but I think you have a very mild version of it. I really don't think you need it, but it was like a liability thing. Like, what if something happened? And finally, the cardiology, you know, association, the American Heart Association had a ruling on this. And they said, no, you don't need to give antibiotics every time someone has a heart murmur. Only if they have a very high grade mitral valve prolapse, then per the cardiologist, there will be antibiotics given.
Right.
But not for everybody with a murmur. There would be tens of millions of people.
That and if you go for a cleaning twice a year, that's a lot of antibiotics.
Yeah.
Well, yeah. I remember those days because I have mild mitral valve prolapse. I never took the antibiotics for dental cleaning.
Wow.
Never did it.
You turned out to be right.
And you're vindicated. But it wasn't. They didn't demand that I do it either, so I guess they weren't concerned. I don't know.
Well, they probably wrote, you know, patient non-compliant, you know, something like that. Patient refuses antibiotics.
Right. Just like I refuse x-rays.
Patient refuses x-rays. I do that too when I go to the
I US. Had to sign an indemnification thing because I did not allow them to take x-rays.
They want to do it every time.
I said, if something hurts, I will come to you. You will take x-rays.
They want to do it every time.
I know. Why?
Yeah.
Why?
I don't want it done all the time.
I don't want it done either. Yeah. So, Carol, yes, take your antibiotics for your knee replacements and things. We hope you're up and walking and feeling well and have no pain.
Yeah, I mean,
just like
I don't do a chest x-ray every year on patients. Remember there was this thing, you'd get your annual chest x-ray.
Yeah.
Well, really?
Yeah.
I'm fine. Do I need a chest x-ray? Well, you might have cancer.
Exactly.
You know. No.
No. Not a good idea, right? Oh, I know a teacher. She works.
You know, maybe if you're a smoker, you know, that sometimes they will do that. But actually, an x-ray is not that good. They've done some studies on doing what are called spiral CTs on patients who are smokers. It's a very sensitive test to spot early cancer. They did not find it was that helpful in terms of saving lives. It did detect cancer sometimes, but did it make a difference in the outcome? It didn't really make a difference.
I know a teacher. She's now a dean. She's required to get a chest x-ray every year.
Because of tuberculosis concerns or something like that?
Yeah.
Wow.
Which is wild.
Wow.
Right. Okay. Just like if you work in a hospital, you've got to get your flu vaccination and your shingles vaccination and your Hep B's. Well, the Hep B's is once.
Right? Wow.
So, anyway. This comes from Dana, D-A-N-N-A. Hi. I was wondering how concerning it is to have a low white blood cell count.
How low?
My last count was 3.5, and my hospital labs range go from 4.8 to 10.8.
That's not that bad.
It's not that bad.
But what we do, first of all, I don't know the race of this person, nor should we really, you know, ask, what is your race? You know,
what is your race?
But in this case, it is relevant because there is among certain Asian populations and African-American populations a tendency for the range to be a little lower. And an acceptable range might be in the threes, you know, not much below 3.2 or 3.4. And I pay a lot of attention to trends because if I see somebody with a 3.5, and I had a patient like that, you know, I said, oh, you know, you've got a 3.4. And I said, come back in 6 months and we'll see if it's lowered. Well, it came back 4. So it wasn't trending down. It was a little low, but at least it wasn't like, you know, 3.4, you know, 3.1, 2.7, you know, then it's
like
suggesting
that.
A disease process that's doing that. There could be a bone marrow disorder or something like that causing that. I would just not do anything about it, but I would repeat the test within a year and see if it's trending lower. And then the person to see who can evaluate that is a hematologist. And the ultimate test to ascertain if there's a problem is a bone marrow biopsy, unfortunately.
Yeah. Dana is wondering, is there something her body isn't getting enough of?
It could be zinc. It could be, you know, we use sometimes things to stimulate the immune system.
Vitamin A. That's the second time I'm mentioning vitamin A today.
You're into vitamin A today.
We were talking about somebody's skin earlier.
It's a traditional
vitamin A.
Immune support thing.
Yeah.
You don't want to take too much.
No.
But you want to look at... you know, maybe the use of something like Empower, which is AHCC, advanced hexose correlated compound. These are some things that can be helpful.
Yeah.
You know, we have a few patients where that is a concern, and we support their immune system with various immune supportive nutrients.
You had mentioned once, I think, shark liver oil.
There is some literature on shark liver oil. It's not that popular as being an immune support kind of thing.
Yeah.
There's some issues with sustainability on shark liver, which concerns me, is that, you know, making it into a consumer product is they're harvesting too many sharks. And, you know, while, you know, we tend to think of sharks as the enemy, you know, we don't want to kill them all.
No, no. Astragalus.
Astragalus, very good, yes. Yeah, sure.
You mentioned zinc, vitamin C. I always put those two together.
Echinacea, although there's some suggestion, should not be used chronically. It should be used more when you have like a respiratory infection or something like that.
And golden seal should never be used chronically.
Okay,
apparently.
Well, we do use berberine, though.
Berberine is good, but that's not quite the same.
It's not the full herb. Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah, there's some constituents in golden seal that may be concerning, and berberine is the purified extract. Okay.
Okay. So get a repeat test. Dana, and she does mention that when that 3.5 level on her white blood count, she had that lab done early in the morning and that night had a sinus headache that lasted a few days. So maybe it was possibly sinus
infection.
You know,
when you have a virus, there's really bacterial infections tend to cause an elevation in the white cell count.
Ah.
A viral infection, at least initially, will lower the white cell count.
Okay.
So that could be what's going on there.
Okay. All right. Thank you for your question.
But if somebody says, I have, you know, sinus pain, and then you do a white blood cell count, and it's like 11, then you have pretty high suspicion for a sinusitis. Mm. Or if they have abdominal pain, and then they have a white count of 14 or something, it could be appendicitis or diverticulitis.
Ooh, wow. Okay.
You know, that's an indication of bacterial infection.
Mm-hmm. Okay. We have another Carol, sending us an email. Hi, I suggested this topic on Facebook. Can Dr. Hoffman comment on the connection with HPV, human papillomavirus, and cancer? Actress Marcia Cross recently made news when she announced
she had anal cancer. And her husband has throat cancer.
Yes.
Yeah. I don't know that actress, though.
I
can't keep track of
her. What's that Housewives series?
I don't watch. Oh, she's
any of these things.
Yeah, okay.
But no. She might have been on.
Whatever. Let's not go there.
I don't know. I don't watch much TV.
We don't get paid to do TV reviews. Let's stick to medicine.
She's an actress. We believe you. Okay.
Yeah. Right.
So that her anal cancer is related to her husband's throat cancer.
Okay.
I wonder just how much of a danger this is, and is HPV connected to the common cold sore? No, that's a different virus. That's
different
the herpes virus.
Herpes virus. So, you know, there was some, she went out of her way to state, I am not a paid representative of the vaccine.
Of Gardasil.
Gardasil. You know, I'm not a spokesperson. But
Desperate
it almost,
Housewives star.
It all, okay, fine. A show
okay.
that, one show that I didn't watch.
That, me too.
Yeah. So, you know, it can be sexually transmitted. So, you know, in, men who have sex with men, you know, anal intercourse is common, but also in heterosexual couples, sometimes anal intercourse occurs, and that can be a way of transmitting HPV.
Yeah.
It is also responsible for when you see oral cancer in a non-smoker, it's more likely to be HPV.
Yeah.
It used to be smoking caused 99% of oral cancers and throat cancers. Now, you know, tonsillar cancer, now we're seeing HPV being a causative agent. So the answer is, you know, it's a concern.
It is a concern. HPV being targeted by the much-advertised vaccine for teens, is Gardasil safe?
The answer is, I have concerns about it. I mean, I think it look, especially, you know, when you're talking about the risk of cancer, cervical cancer in women, anal cancer in both sexes, oral cancer in both sexes. I mean, it is a concern. There really is a concern because it's not trivial.
Yeah.
However, I just think the Gardasil vaccine has potential consequences.
And it's three shots.
It's two? Maybe three. I think it should be three. Now it's two because we just saw Gallo had her second shot. They say this series is complete. She did, this gal yesterday appeared to have had a problem with her second shot.
Yes.
It could be coincidental, but there are too many coincidences, and there actually are documented cases of really serious illness associated with it. I'm not an anti-vaxxer, but this whole, the problem with the vaccine controversy, it's so binary. It's like, either if you even question one vaccine that is not so effective, you know, like you say, well, the flu vaccine, it's not there yet, it's not perfect, then you become an anti-vaxxer.
Right.
And it's like you become like an enemy of the state, and you become like, you know, a denier, you know, which is, you know, it's just too, it's an unscientific dichotomy, you know, that you, when we take a look at these vaccines, I mean, we're seeing, you know, this impetus to rush these vaccines to production, and there have been some problems. There's a lot of problems with the dengue vaccine, for example. The dengue vaccine appears to confer protection, but if you get dengue, I believe it is, there's different strains, and if you get a second case of dengue after the vaccine, it can be devastating, you know. So, I mean, to merely raise questions about vaccines is legitimate.
Yes.
And I think we need to do better with it. It's a laudable goal to try and eradicate HPV. I just think that there's still some concerns with the vaccine we need to do better because it can cause some reactions.
Yeah. There was a documentary, I remember it came out a couple of years ago when Gardasil was very popular and all of that. And you and I saw a few cases of a few young women who had a problem.
I was interviewed for that.
Okay.
Yeah.
There was a documentary, it was out of Sweden or Denmark, I don't remember which.
Mm-hmm.
And apparently there was some, the thing that all of these girls had in common, who had a bad reaction to the vaccine, also had POTS.
Yeah, they had postural orthostatic hypotension, you know, or tachycardia syndrome, POTS, which is like a weak and woozy syndrome. And some of them were like debilitated and bedbound. So they're... It causes kind of a chronic fatigue-like syndrome, and it's plausible because when you strongly stimulate the immune system to make a vaccine work, it could adversely affect certain subpopulation. You know, it's maybe 1%, but when you're giving millions of people a vaccine, that could be thousands of people.
Yeah.
Anyway, enough of the vaccine thing because we're it's a third rail now.
Yeah.
Of medicine.
Yeah.
And. You know, I just don't want to go there.
Mm-hmm.
So, thus concludes today's Intelligent Medicine Podcast, our weekly Q&A with Layla. Please send questions to radioprogram@AOL.com, and we'll be happy to answer them. So, enjoy the rest of your summer. We'll be back next week with more. Thank you,
yes.
Layla.
Thank you, Dr. Hoffman.
I'm Dr. Ronald Hoffman, and this is the Intelligent Medicine Podcast.
This is Layla Mudin, RD. I see patients regularly, along with Dr. Hoffman. If you require a nutrition consult with me but live out of town, there's no need to travel to New York City. I have telephone consultations with clients from all over the country. Please visit drhoffman.com for more information. And to set up an appointment, call 212-779-1744. That's 212-779-1744. I look forward to being a collaborator in your healthcare.